Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Some of you are just expecting a nice Easter Sunday morning church. Hallelujah. And that's okay. Hallelujah. But over here, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ because of what He's done for us. Hallelujah. There's none like Him. None like Him. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy are You, Father. Worthy are You, Lord, to be praised. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I've got four young men, hallelujah, that are waiting to speak into your hearts this morning. Hallelujah. It's kind of like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Pick which one you want. But this morning, it's going to be Abe, Jason, Steve, and Hank. Hallelujah. And the way I feel right now, I think I'll just cancel all four of those guys because I want to preach. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Yeah, you don't have to clap. You don't have to clap. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going to let them preach, man. Praise God. How many of you know that God loves you this morning? Hallelujah. He did. He really did pay for your audience, for you to be in His presence. He paid for that. Take advantage of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God loves you. God loves you. Hallelujah. Well, I better let Abe come up. Brother Abe, can you come on up? Glory to God. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah.
So before when I heard about this and I'd be talking today, I was just kind of thinking, I was like, okay, God, let it be this one. Let it be the one that is full of me talking about joyful things. Because the last time I was up here for Sunday, I talked about suffering. And then when I did a full sermon, I talked about the lukewarm church in Laodicea. And I was like, okay. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to joke about that kind of stuff. So, here it is. Something funny. But just in the beginning. I'm sorry. April Fools? No. So, what I want to talk about, let's go to the Mark chapter 14. It's starting at verse 32. So I want to talk about Jesus in the garden. And this is just moments before He's going to be taken into custody. And He was going to be, put on trial. He's going to be tortured. He's going to be mocked. And He's going to be crucified. So it starts out at verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to His disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with Him, and He began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," He said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." And I want you to notice something in there. Because, we may think about Jesus as, this person who is strong, and He's that way because, He's fully man, He's fully God. But He was fully man, and He also had emotions. And he was overwhelmed to the point of death with sorrow. And you also see that He didn't let His emotions rule Him. And that was important. Because then it goes on to 35, it says, going a little farther, He fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from Him. "Abba, Father," He said, "everything is possible for You. Take this cup from Me. Yet not what I will, but You will." And to think about it, to think about God's will, it just sounds like something that's just nebulous thing, something that, we can't obtain. And, in relationship to the way, the world's going to go on, maybe, the way that the universe is going to go on, yes. But when it relates to us and our lives, there is a way to discern what His will is for our life. And so I want to go to Romans 12:2. And it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I would say that the scripture was brought really fresh to my mind recently. I was at another church, and it was a meeting of different church leaders. And there was a discussion about, what do we do about the people who are just overwhelmed, too busy? You know, how do we make volunteering easy for them? Because, you know, after work, a lot of times what they do is they have these other activities that they're involved in outside. If they have kids, what they got to do is they got to put them in as many programs as possible, because that's what the mark of a successful parent is these days. And I was just too timid at the time to say this, but I was thinking about this right here. It's like, what about Romans 12? And, you know, I did agree that we need to make volunteering easy for people, and that we needed to be flexible. But, you know, I didn't agree with the part about people being so filled with everything else going on in the world that they didn't have any time for God. Because it doesn't mean we can't do extra activities. It doesn't mean we don't involve our kids things outside of church, because we need to be among non-believers, because that's how we, you know, tell them about Jesus. But, you know, we need to be honest with ourselves. Is what we're doing, is it glorifying God? And are you building relationships where you can share the good news with them if they don't believe? Or is it something you're just doing because everybody else does it? Because I want you to get this one thing. If you get anything out of what I say today, it's going to be in that Romans 12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. And I mean, it's so important you understand it. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Because it's very easy to fall into that trap. Because, you know, we have our friends, we have our family, we have our coworkers, and we see, you know, social media, and we just see how everybody else is living their life, and they'll tell you how great it is. But, you know, they'll just tell us, well, you know, if you're going through this, you need to try this. If you're going through that, try this. You know, if you do this, it'll be great. While we're all just leaving God out of the whole decision-making process. So, you know, it says in there, you will know what God's will is if you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? So, how do you renew your mind? Oops. You read this book. You know scripture. And you don't just read it and know it, but you find ways to apply it to your life. You also pray without ceasing, and you worship God while you're here and while you're out of here. You worship at all times. If you look at the verse just before this, I didn't give it to you, but Romans 12:1, it says that we should offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, and that is our true and proper worship. It's not just about us singing. It's not just about, you know, saying, thank you, God. It's about how we live our lives. That's our true and proper worship. So, one thing is that, so how do you know God's will then? Part of it is you need to seek it. So I made this awesome Instagram, Facebook kind of thing, because it seems more profound that way, right? To know God's will, you need to seek it. That author, A.B. Nix right there. Notice I made it tiny. All right, because who's that guy? All right, so the other thing I need to talk about too is like, do you think you know do you think you know God's will, but you're not really following it? Because I can tell you, just recently I was corrected. Because, yeah, I've been in here. We had some issues with the sound system. Also, we just finished an event, so I made a video for it. So I've been in the church, and just a few days I've been here for like 20 hours just working on those two things. And when I was finished, it's like, okay, relieved. Finally, it's done. But then I heard God. So when are you going to do what I told you to? And I neglect, God really put something on my heart that I need to do. And I haven't done it yet. Because, you know, it is helpful that we have good sound in here. But is that really what people are seeking? Good sound? Or are they seeking to know the truth about God? So, you know, if it's something that you know God's telling you to do something, don't neglect it. You should do it because it's important. And, you know, why should we follow God's will? I want to take a look at 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. And it says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." And I don't know about you, but I'd like to live forever. Rather than, you know, seeking out these things on this earth that they're going to be gone someday. It's worthless. And, you know, speaking of wills, you know, there's a lot of time, too, where we may not know what God's will is, but we know what our will is, what we want to do, and that we don't really seek out what God wants for us to do, but instead we just ask him to bless what we plan to do. And, you know, I was just thinking, it's like, why would you do that? It's like this God that says he's made us his masterpiece and to prepared for us good works to do in advance. He's got a plan for us. He's also, you know, the God whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts. How can we think that we know better than God? We should be seeking God's will. And part of God's will is just obeying his commands. Now, I don't mean just the Ten Commandments, but I mean obeying his commands. And it's throughout Scripture that he gives us those. What are the best places to start? It's going to be Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 37. And this is when Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, the Bible, there's so many times where it gives us a clear, simple answer, but it's so hard for us to carry those out because we have this thing still on us, this flesh, and it can be very selfish at times. And I just want to look at that, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. Okay, it's very important. We should love reading this book. It shouldn't be a chore. We should love worshiping God. It shouldn't be a chore. We should love carrying out what God has called us to do. And then also when it says, love your neighbor as yourself, I think so many times we just read that and we think, be nice to people. Okay. But I want you to really look at those words. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. How much do you love yourself? What are you willing to do for yourself? You're going to make sure you're fed, you're clothed. You're not going to go without. We should feel that way about these people here. You know, this church, not the building, but the people, we should love one another. We should treat each other like family. And, you know, just I was just thinking about it. When you're in church, if you love God, you probably wouldn't be watching the clock. I used to be one of those people. I used to watch the clock and how long is it going to go? I hope we can get out quickly because as it's a big church, it's like, because, you know, the parking lot really jams up, you know. But, you know, we shouldn't be in a rush to get out of this place. We should want to stay here amongst the believers in the presence of God. And then the other thing, too, about loving one another, you know, I've seen this myself, and I just feel bad that I'm not doing more, is that, you know, sometimes people will kind of hang around in here after church. Just thinking, it's like, you know what? Maybe they need just somebody to talk to, just somebody to pray with them, somebody to encourage them. But then I'm just consumed with, I got to get the stuff for the podcast. I got to do this, that. And I just got to remind myself that things are not important. People are what's important. And showing love to people is what's important. So if you can, just when you come to church, don't look just to receive something from God or to receive something from somebody speaking, but look to give something to somebody. Look to pray for somebody. Think about how you can encourage somebody. And just be willing to do that. Be willing to give up just a little bit of time, because just that little bit of time can make such a difference in somebody's life. Because we have no idea what people are going through. And this should be the place that they can expect to be encouraged and loved. So, you know, sometimes God's plan for us is to go through some tough situations. And, you know, that's to mature us, to let us grow in our faith and understanding of God. So let's go back to Gethsemane. And it's Mark 14, verse 37. But just say, you know, Jesus didn't seem too excited about what he was about to go through. Sorrowful to the point of death, right? And he had prayed so many times for God to make another way that he didn't have to go through that suffering. But every time Jesus prayed, he said, not my will, but your will. And he just faced God's plan for him the right way. And his disciples, not so much. So we'll see that in a moment. It says, then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. I was thinking, you know, just, okay, they can't stay awake. Jesus is going through this terrible ordeal, and they just can't stay awake for a little while. But then it was in Luke that I saw the answer for it. It wasn't just because they were tired. Luke chapter 22:45-46 says, when he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Now, notice that before it said that Jesus was overwhelmed with sorrow. And he was the one that actually had to go through all this. They just had to be a witness to it. And even then, some of them didn't witness it firsthand. So, you know, just they felt sorrow. And instead, they just gave up. Because have you ever felt something where you just felt despair? That, you know, if we are not careful, instead of handling it like Jesus, we can handle it like the disciples did. Now think about this. These are the people that are closest to Jesus. These are the people that Jesus chose to be close to him and spread the gospel. And they were tempted by this and they fell into that, that they were overcome with that sorrow. So instead of seeking God in prayer, obeying his commands, his will, they fell into the trap of giving up. Many times we fall into that trap. I've gone through it before. Instead of pressing in, I retreated. I pulled away from God. I pulled away from the church body, which is meant to grow me, strengthen me, encourage me. I just want to tell you, don't be blinded by the world. Don't handle anything like the world will handle it. If you see your life looks like everybody else is around you and they aren't Christians, then there's probably something that needs to change. And that's why it's so important we know what's in this book. Not only that we know what's in this book, but we actually live it out with our lives. So I just want to say, don't give in. Seek God's will. Obey his commands. And when you start that thing in Romans 12 where it says, you know, renew your mind, what will happen is your thoughts will start to line up with God's thoughts because you'll understand him. You'll know him. You'll hear him. And he's going to guide you. And it's not something where it's always going to be like boring, something that's going to be where you just can't have any fun. Because that's not true. He commands us to have joy, right? We should be the joyful ones. We shouldn't always be these people that are, you know, just down in the dumps. Like, sick again. Lost my job. It's like, no, we should know that God is behind us and that he's going to pull us through everything. And that not only is he going to pull us through, but we're going to learn something from that. We're going to be strengthened. We're going to be matured. I could attest that to myself because there are so many times that I've seen so many amazing things, so many awesome things. In fact, a few weeks ago, I was in LA and my wife and I, we were being featured extras in a For King and Country video. Like, who am I? I'm not in that industry. I don't do anything like that. Why am I going to be in there? But you know what? God's going to give you some fun stuff to do sometimes. So, you know, don't think that everything you do is just going to be this joyless thing and it's just, I don't know, just this ritual tradition thing. Instead, it's this relationship. And like I said, you'll see amazing things happen in your life. You'll be a part of them because God will be using you to do them. Because everybody who believes in Jesus is given a gift, something that you are to use in service to God and the church. So, you know, somebody told me my life was charmed. And all I can say is that it is blessed because God is behind it. And God is behind all of it. And that can be the same for each and every one of you. Just seek out what God has for your life. And he'll do something awesome in it.